We are very pleased to have with us here in Tokyo Rose Fu, who has come to our pilgrimage to Akita. She now lives in near Los Angeles in California for the last many years. Rose said this morning that she could talk for 3 days and three nights about so many things about her story, but I said it's going to be only 2 hours, so we'll have to go to the essentials. It's going to be in the shape of an interview, if you want. I will ask questions, and she will answer. If you have questions on the topic we are covering, you are most welcome to raise your hand and ask questions also. The various themes I would like to dwell on, asking Rose some questions, are first of all about her arrest in Chinese prison, some details, some circumstances about these 26 years of imprisonment in communist China. Secondly, we will talk about how Rose discovered tradition, because when she left China, she was not traditional, she was Novus Ordo, and how she found tradition in the U.S., how she found the Society of St. Pius X very particularly. I would like to address also the question of the Third Order of the Societies. Rose is a member of the Third Order of the Society of St. Pius X, and it's very important, actually, in the story, it will tie the first part and the second part, because there have been consequences with her Chinese friends in her joining the Third Order of the Society. And another little point I would like to cover is how her experience with the communist regime has or does help her to see the proper attitude to have right now in the church, because there are some similarities between dealing with communists and dealing with the modernist authorities. There is a very great similarity. So, we start with the first part. Rose, can you tell us a little bit about your family? Are you born in a Catholic family or non-Catholic? And how did you discover the faith if it was not a Catholic family?
We have the fathers, dear sisters and brothers. This is my pleasure to be here with you today. I was born at a pagan family. None of us is a Catholic at that time. I have five brothers and three sisters. None of us was a Catholic. Then I went to a Catholic girls' middle school, that's called Aurora Girls' Middle School. It was run by Sacred Heart Society nuns. I studied at that school for several years, then I was converted to be Catholic.
How old were you, and why, when you converted, and why did you become Catholic?
I was baptized when I was only 16 years old. Definitely, I wanted to save my own soul and my family's and all China.
And why did you become Catholic? What led you to become a Catholic?
At that time, there were many, many holy priests around me. They instructed me. They told me that was the time of the persecution period. And my priest, Father Joseph Shane, told me, "Rose, you want to be baptized. Are you getting ready? As you will shed your blood for your faith." I answered Father Shane, "I say, since I have found the truth, I'm willing to suffer for it. Even if it's necessary to give up my life."
We're talking about what year were you baptized?
1949. 1 month before the communists took power in China.
And it was in which city of China?
Shanghai, the biggest city of China.
And so 1949, so you're expecting the communists to take over, and so you're getting ready for a very difficult Catholic life.
Yes.
In that Aurora Girls' School, where you were, you discovered the Legion of Mary as well. Was it in that school that you found out the Legion of Mary?
Yes. At that time, the very famous priest, Irish priest, Father Aidan McGrath, he was in Shanghai, China, and he has founded 6 presidia in our school.
And was the Legion of Mary in that school very famous in the whole of Shanghai?
Yes, not only in Shanghai, but all over China. Aurora Girls Middle School was famous for Legion of Mary.
Why was it famous?
Because we have so many presidia there, and Father Aidan McGrath, and there's another priest, Father Edward McCroy. He was the superior of Father Aidan McGrath. Both
Columban fathers.
Yeah, Columban fathers.
What year were you actually arrested, and what date?
I was arrested in the year of 1955. And on the feast of the Nativity of Our Lady, that was the day Bishop Gong and many priests and so many faithful were all arrested on the same night.
Of September 8, 55.
Yes.
Just before the arrest, or in the few weeks or months before the arrest, were you aware that you could be arrested? And how did your family react, because they knew you were very involved in the Legion of Mary? Were they ready for that as well, or your family?
Maybe 15 days before my arrest, at that time I was at a university studying, and the university summoned me to go back to school. It's not usual, because it's not a new semester yet. And I went there. As soon as I got into the university, they announced that I have lost my freedom.
Before your arrest, your family was very much afraid that perhaps with your activities with the Legion of Mary, you were doing something against the government. Can you tell us a little bit the story of the conversion of your brother, who died in Osaka, by the way?
Yes. Since 1951, the communists has given great trouble to us, Legion of Mary only. They didn't touch, they didn't attack any priests or any bishops, but all the Legion of Mary's members stood in front of the church. They thought we were very young, and most of us were born at a pagan family. So they gave us much stress and burden. They think we will surrender right away. But to their surprise, most of us, we kept the faith. And as for my family, the police came night and day, gave a lot of trouble. And my father was very much timid. Just a few months later, my father died of stroke right away. And fortunately, he was baptized several hours before his death. And when he was alive, he told my brother, he said, "You go to these two sisters," and my sister was baptized at the same time with me. "So you go to your two sisters' room, check out which book they have. If they have any book against communism, just take it away and burn it, or they will get much trouble. Then my brother did what my father told him to do. He checked out one by one, and he took the notes. Later in the evening, he told me, "Rose, can I go to your parish to have a talk with your priest?" I say, "What for? You are making trouble? You wanted to put this priest into trouble?" "Oh, no, definitely not." Why I say so? Because he stood on the communist side very much, and just night and day, "Go to register, go to register, or you will have trouble, or you will be arrested." So I don't have any trust on him. I say, "Don't make any trouble to this priest. If you want to make trouble on us, that's okay." And he said, "No, no, no. I have some questions to ask your priest." Then the next day, I went to the, at that time, Church of Christ King. Our pastor was Father Francis too. And I said to Father, "My brother wanted to have a talk with you." I don't know if he said it sincerely or not. Father said, "God guide every soul in different way. Don't worry about him, just bring him to me." And then the next day, I said, "Brother, you want to talk to with our priest? Come. Several months later, he made up his mind to become a Catholic. Father was much moved, and he reported to Bishop Gong. And Bishop Gong said, "Since this case, I will come to your church to baptize him in a solemn baptism."
So he was baptized by the Cardinal
Kung.
Cardinal Kung.
Yes. And then he went abroad to Hong Kong, to Japan, and he died in Osaka.
So finally, September 8, 1955, you were arrested with so many priests, the cardinal, and other faithful. And what happened, like, in the first few months of your imprisonment? Was it a strict prison behind bars? Were you in a labor camp? Can you tell us a little bit of?
At the very beginning, 6 months, it was full of trials, interrogations. You know, actually, it's communist brainwashing in many ways. They interrogated me night and day. Sometimes 3 or 5 officers, sometimes at midnight, and kept it on for 4 to 5 hours. They took in turn, but I didn't take any rest. They asked many, many questions.
Were you answering their questions?
They have asked me many, many questions, but in the first 6 months, I have been tried for more than 100 times. I didn't say one single word.
So why did you not say anything?
Because our priest has instructed us. If you say first, "Brother, what's your name? What's your address? How many members in your family?" That's a very ordinary question. I can answer. But if you answer this, they have many, many questions waiting for you after this. So, better not answer. So, they will, you know, tempt you step by step. And our priest say, "Better don't say anything, any word, or your mind will go confused, get much confused." And How many members in a Legion of Mary? Who is your vice president? Who kept it on for maybe for 5 hours and then 6 hours confused. You will tell everything they need.
You have seen others who were arrested like you, who started to answer questions, and what happened to them?
Yes. I have seen some. They are willing to answer. And day by day, they wrote their confession. They follow what the communists asked them to do.
And what happened to them?
And then
were they freed?
They get released. They got released. They are back home.
And did the communists keep their promises with them, or did they have a happy life afterwards?
So today, maybe more than 50 years has passed. We can see the consequence. If before this, I can't see the consequence. So many have fallen. They didn't keep their faith, but what their consequence? When I was leaving for United States, I had coffee with them. I say, Mr. So and So, now what you have, I have.
Material good
or fame. Yeah. Though I had been arrested, and yet I was very famous in my city because I taught English. Yeah. What I have, I think you didn't have. Now I'm a citizen of America. You want to go to the United States. Now you're still here in China. So?
What did it profit?
Yeah, what did the profit you get? You deny faith, you get nothing. And later, some of them died. And died of
miserable.
Very, very, very miserable death. So, and one of my friend, very close friend. She was the vice president. At that time, I was president, and she was vice president of this presidium, named Veronica. Before I left for United States, I pay a visit to him. Oh, I talked to her. Maybe only half an hour. She told me again and again, I don't think God will punish me to hell. I don't think that seems her conscience is not safe. And I say, what happened to you? Said after a few weeks after her arrest, her mom cried and cried. Then she wrote the confession and did everything Thomas asked her to do. I say, where is your mom now? Mom died many years ago. I said, have you baptized her? How come? How can it be possible? Yes. She said very logically. Why? She herself has lost the faith. I said, you say rosary every day? She didn't remember how to say rosary. She didn't care about her own soul. How can she care about her mom's soul?
In the first few months of the imprisonment, you were sharing a cell with others. Is that correct?
Yes.
How big was the cell, and how many people were in that cell? Maybe like here, the tatami, like this?
One fourth
the stage. So about 10 square meters, something like that.
Yeah, about 20 people.
20 people in about 10 square meters.
Yes, yes.
And you had to sleep, you could lie down there with everybody, you must be all piled up.
Yeah, one here, like this. Like a mattress
in the
box. And that when we move, we say 1, 2, 3 together. Oh, you can move.
We all move together.
Right? Yeah.
And then, but after that, they put you in a separate cell, no?
Yes.
When they saw you were so stubborn, you were not giving in. What kind of cell was that?
Yeah, a very small. I can't.
Could you lie down in the cell?
Lie down can lie for one person lie down.
Yes.
A separate cell.
Are there any windows?
No window, no gate.
No doors,
nothing.
No light?
No light at all. Yeah.
Total darkness.
Total darkness.
And how long were you in that cell?
6 months.
Was it not very difficult? Or what did you do in these 6 months?
Yes. I think most people thought it's the most serious punishment. Why? When you were with so many, you know, roommates in it's not so terrible. We can talk. Even if they forbid us to talk, but we can talk. In a single cell, no light, no window, no get home to talk. No radio, definitely no TV, no nothing. And because why they thought of this way, there's one leader of all Catholic youth. She seemed very courageous. Oh, this, that. And they put her into the separate cell. Only one day later, she wrote the confession. Because she was
too hard
for her. And she said, they know me. I just told Father Couture. I was a very active girl, very talkative. I like to talk, I like to make friends, very sociable. And say, you will, we give you this, you will say, tomorrow you will say, give me paper, I will write the confession. So they shut me into the cell.
So what do you do? I would say all day, you don't even know it is day because there's no light. How do you know what time it is? How did you occupy these 6 months in that jail? What did you do in one day, for example?
Yes. At the very beginning, I'm much upset. Now, what shall I do? Then, I put my schedule. First, you know, my first thing, to hear the mass.
First of all, how do you know it was morning? Because there's no
morning. They were giving me mail.
The meal. You talk the meal.
The meal. Not the mail.
The meal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought a soul without prayer is like a person without breath. How can I survive? Then in the morning, first thing, hear the mass. Hear the mass and receive Holy Communion spiritually. And then 15 decades of rosary, then take a little while. Then I sing, I recite some poems, Chinese poems. Then I meditate some stories, and in the afternoon, way to cross.
Way of the cross.
Way of the cross, one station, second, and 40 all. It's dinner time.
Dinner time.
And dinner time. So I ask myself, are you afraid? Yes, I'm very much afraid. I'm a human being. Maybe I'm weaker than you. How can I not be afraid? But I remember once a priest gave us the retreat. Say, I'm more afraid of eternal fire. It's without an ending. If I'm not afraid, how can I not be afraid of eternal fire? Among two, between two, I choose right now. And since I pray and pray, the grace bestowed like a big shower on me. Really, really. So somebody asked me, Rose, what is your happiest time in your life? Without any consideration, I said, 6 months in the separate cell.
The happiest time in your life?
Yes.
It was a 6-month long retreat. after this time, then you were sentenced for a long, for 15 years or something like that?
15 years, not something like that.
15 years.
15 years.
And it was either you write the confession or 15 years in labor camp.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
And the confession was it something like either you admit you were wrong to belong to the Legion of Mary?
Yes.
So simply write something like this? That's all they wanted? One line or a couple of lines?
Not only a couple of lines. That's what I think. In this world, there are always choices. You don't say, oh, there's no way. That's why I have to do it. No. As for instance, for my case, you want to get released or get 15 years sentence. You choose. You want to serve God or the world. You choose. You love our Heavenly Mother or my own mother. Always you choose. It's all free will. So I say, don't say, no way out. There's some way. But to pick out the right ones. So when I got the document of, they gave me sentence to 15 years. I was only 20 something and I was a university student. What wrong? What evil have I done? They said, well, what do you think of the government? We will give you 15 year sentence. I said, better than I expect to. Huh? What do you expect? I said, life imprisonment. Oh, you are ready for this? Yes. I said, you sentenced me 15 years. It's the same as life imprisonment. Why? Because I was very, very weak at that time. I had heart problem. I don't think I will survive to so far. Then I say, for you, government, you have power, your authority. You can sentence anybody, 15 years, 20 years, do whatever. But to me, I keep my free will. I say, I believe in God.
When you went to then you were sentenced to the labor camps.
Yes.
What is a labor camp? How many people are there in that labor camp where you were?
I was mostly at White Lake Labor Camp. It's located in Anhui Province, in the middle part of China. Oh, there were about 30,000 to 40,000 prisoners over there.
So it's a real town. It's a city.
It occupied four counties, and among maybe we have more than 10 priests over there.
And did you know who the priests were and where they were?
I knew some, but not all of them. It occupied four counties.
30,000 people.
How?
So, were you able to receive to go to Mass sometime or receive communion?
How come? China is against the Catholic religion so much. Even outside, even you are a free person, you can't go to a church to hear Mass, let alone a labor camp.
So, how long were you without communion? Was it 15 years? Was it?
No, 20 something years.
More than 20 years?
More than.
Without any Mass?
Without any Mass, without
confession?
Yes,
nothing.
Nothing.
You just had your rosary, your prayers?
Yes.
What did you do in the labor camp? Is there, you had some skills in chemistry, you were a nurse, you had some training as a nurse?
Yes. Most of us did the farming job.
Farming, planting rice, farming.
So many peas. No more on the altar, no more at the confessional. They did the farming job. And mostly, priests are not used to do that, and very slow. So, the communists yelled at them all the time. And I was so fortunate, they paid out to learn the nurse, to train me as a nurse at the labor camps hospital.
So that helped you or exempted you from physical work?
Yes.
Was there a good charity among the prisoners? You knew who was Catholic? And did you ever get together? Did you pray together sometime with the other Catholics?
No, they forbid this very strictly. They didn't allow us to get together. No.
But you still knew who was Catholic? And you still have some friends there?
Sometimes, only by chance. Not often we knew. Sometimes we knew.
And can you tell us the story of the egg?
Oh, the story of egg, it's a very funny story. You know, at that time, I was having a very, very serious sickness that was called malaria. Malaria. I had a high fever over 40-something for about 2 weeks without any medicine, without any doctor. I thought that I was dying, and I closed my eyes. Oh, now I can be a martyr here to die in the labor camp. And I don't know. I was miraculously well. And up to the regulation in labor camp, today you don't have any fever. You have to go back to work the next day. So I went out to do the farming. At that time, I was still doing the farming job with my friend Teresa. I carried a bag and to pick up the cotton blossom. And on the way, we passed a chicken hutch. Oh, Teresa said, "You saw an egg, Ruth. You see how God loves you because you have been sick for so many days without any nutrition." So he picked out the egg and put it in the pocket. And until the evening, when we were back, Rosie, you take the egg to the kitchen. Ask the lady to boil it for you. You just eat it. Oh, Teresa, I'm not used to eat. And how about the shell? I can't eat the shell. And if somebody noticed the shell, they will report to the communist. I will get into trouble. I better not. Then you do not to eat. Then I gave it to one sister. I said, sister, you need more nutrition than I do. Oh, no, Rose, I can't take it. Then in this way, we transfer to about maybe five or six phase four or nine.
Everyone was passing the egg to the other.
Nobody was willing to eat.
Yes.
Oh, then what shall we do with this egg? Then on the feast of the Nativity of Our Lady, somebody suggested, let's break the egg into it and put some boiling water to make it
a soup.
One egg makes
a soup for 6 people, 10 people?
12 people. Everybody had one spoon.
One spoonful.
Yeah.
Egg soup.
Nobody can imagine what's the value of it. One spoon of egg soup doesn't mean anything, doesn't bring so much nutrition to anybody. But the love between us really moved me. In this kind of country, who will pay attention to one egg?
You were sentenced for 15 years, but you said you were in prison altogether for about 26 years.
Yes.
So what happened after the 15 years? Did you want to stay back or what?
At that time, communist rule is, even if after your sentence, they won't allow you to go back home. They have to keep you as post-prisoner.
Like post-graduate.
Post-prisoner. The difference between prisoner and post-prisoner was the post-prisoner can get very little wage, monthly wage, such as my time, maybe two U.S. dollars or three U.S. dollars per month.
That's so what could you do with that money? Could you buy something in the camp?
Yeah, buy some T-shirts or two pairs. That's very important.
There
the daily supply.
There was a little shop.
A little store. That's first difference. Second, they allowed you to have 1 week vacation every other year. That's the difference.
And after your 26 years, then you were freed. And so you stayed in China a little bit?
Yes.
And then I think some of your family members were in the U.S., and that's how you were able to go to the U.S., is that correct?
My brother was an American citizen. He has been here for many years, more than 40 years. Then he made it a petition. Actually, he was pushed by Father Aidan McGuire
to leave China, go to the U.S.
Yes.
To eventually help the family, other family members.
Yes.
So when you got to the U.S., did you find the land of freedom? Was it paradise on earth? Or was it something else? Were you surprised in what you found in the U.S.? What was your impression when you got to California?
I was much disappointed when I got to the United States. There are two reasons. One reason is that I like to go to Mass every day. I went to Mass. The Mass was totally different from the Mass when I was a little girl.
Of course, you were arrested in the 50s, was the old Mass.
Yes.
And you found the new Mass in the U.S.
Yes.
You left to China in 89.
Mm.
So you were in prison between 55 and 81, is that correct?
Maybe in the middle. Yes.
And then a few years, and then in 89 you went to the U.S.
Yes. And the other reason that at that time my brother, he has found a job for us where St. Vincent de Paul store. St. Vincent de Paul store. I'm not supposed to say that, but once Father McGrath visited me, I said, Father, it's worse than in labor camp. Really worse. Why? They treated, they said, help us, help others, or what. But actually, they didn't do any charity to us employees. And it's too dark.
Working in the States was harder.
Not only the work, the job.
The spirit among the people that you were working with?
Yes, our boss. He is namely a Catholic. So he didn't hide anything. He said, Rose, you know, I have two families. I have two wives. Just talk that way. Yeah. So I'm not willing to tell you anything in detail, but to my very, very disappointment. So that's quite my...
So materialism did not bring... You did not see materialism bringing happiness compared to... You had total poverty in China. You were happier in China than with all the materialism that you saw in the U.S. Would that be correct?
Yeah, but I should say, even in this... at the material part, I was worse than I was in China. Why? At that time, I was a very advanced teacher in China. I have had everything I need. And after I got here, I had nothing. I only live a very, very hard life. Yes.
So let's move on to the second part, which is how you found tradition. So for you, it was a shock to see that while you were in prison, they had changed the mass. How long did you go to the new mass before you found something was wrong or before you found tradition?
About 7 to 8 years I had been in Novosoto mass.
In the California?
In California. And at that time I was living in Chinatown. And one of my friends, as soon as I got here, my brother told me, Rose, now you know in this country we receive Holy Communion in hand like this.
Okay.
So what you say, I follow in this. So for 7 to 8 years, I received Holy Communion in hand. Once I met a friend at a very small church. He was looking for a traditional church. And once he asked, Rose, how did you receive your Holy Communion? I said, my brother told me to receive Holy Communion in this way. Oh. It's sacrilege, you know? Sacrilege? I don't know sacrilege. It's, he said, it's a mortal thing, a very big thing. Oh, then when I got home, I cried and cried. How can I commit such a thing? I have suffered so many years for our Lord. And now, you see, Holy Communion. I said, from tomorrow morning, no. I still go to, went to Novosoto Mass, but in tongue. And sometimes the priest yelled at me, get up! I kneeling down and get up. What's wrong with you? With me? What? Then he has found Acadia, or Lady
Acadia.
Yes,
that man that you met.
Yes, David. Yes.
And then he told you about Acadia, the Church of the Society of St. Pius X.
And as long as I came into the, this is the church when I was young. Very familiar. Felt much comfortable.
At home, you felt at home.
Well, at home. This is what I'm looking for.
Talk about you have a question.
Maybe just slightly come back. Between your release from labor camps in about 1982 until your departure to the U.S. in 1989, what did you do as far as the sacraments go? Did you go to an underground mass or the patriotic mass? Did you know the difference? Was it still the new mass or was it still the traditional mass? Was it the new mass?
At that time, no traditional mass.
Let me repeat the question.
Yeah.
Okay. Rose, just to go back a little bit, between 81 and 89 when you were in Shanghai, did you go to any of the masses? Did you know of the difference between underground and patriotic? And what mass was it?
At that time, no public mass at all, only patriotic mass. But I did go some, that some underground priest came to my house. When they came, because I lived in the city of Hefei, you know, Hefei is the capital of Anhui province, like Father Francis Zhu, Father Yan, some priests from the labor camp, when they were back to Shanghai, they had to go through Hefei. So when they came to my house, they said the mass, but new mass.
Already the new mass.
Already the new mass. Even Father Francis to such a holy priest, the new mass.
But then did you not see the difference?
I haven't seen any traditional mass at that time, but only when I was girlhood.
I know, but you said when you got to the U.S. and you saw the new mass, you were shocked. So, but when you saw these priests saying a different mass than in your childhood, did you not ask questions? Why is the mass different? Did you
yes, know? I asked. They say, since Vatican II, the mass has changed. The Pope wants... I said, we have to obey the Pope. I was very, very loyal to Pope. Just for the Pope, I have suffered so much. So many people say, Rose, what happened to you? You were so loyal to the Pope. Now you follow SSPX.
When you came to the society, so we're talking about the mid-90s, 95, 96, 97, around
yes.
there. How did you answer the objection of disobedience? Did you not hear your friends telling you, don't go to SSPX, you'll be excommunicated, you'll be disobedient to the Pope? Did your friend use these arguments against you?
Yes. I remember very clearly, when maybe a few days before I became a third order member. At that time, I was very innocent. I called all my friends. I said, are you willing to come to Los Angeles? I will become a third old member of SSPX. Oh, what? Are you crazy? You really want to? Then, one phone call after another. Oh, you know, you will be excommunicated like Lafay. And all the bishops and what? Oh, that's what they do to me. And then, years by years, they now cut off all the relationship. The Cardinal Gong Foundation, you know, the President Joseph Gong, his sister was my close friend. We were grown up together. Not no more. No more. They all say goodbye to me. First, I felt much, much pain. I'm a human being. I have all the feelings and emotions. But later, by and by, I became very silent. Now, I don't waste any time. Because to keep the faith, you have to choose. This is called, I call it human respect. Because I'm kind of a little bit than usual ordinary faithful. They treat me so well. Now I lost this human respect. I meditate the Simon of Sirian when they forced him to carry the cross to help our Lord to the way to Calvary. Not only the physical burden, because he was among the robbers and those that power one. It's the same with me. So what? It's very, in this world, it's very temporary. Now I feel I have got the boarding pass. Who knows? God will call me maybe several months later. This all will pass. So, the first battle, I was sentenced to 15 years. Second battle, now today it's, we don't talk about my cancer, my sickness. The third part is, now I was, how do you say?
You were cut off.
I cut off
because of the mass.
Because not only the mass, SSPS, especially third order member.
We'll talk about this in a minute. Rose, you mentioned the third order. Why did you want to join the third order of SSPX? Was it not enough just to go to the mass of the society in Arcadia?
First, I want to follow Archbishop Lafay. I have read something about our Archbishop. He is really a hero, a saint. an unbloody martyr. In Vatican II, we can tell how courageous, how brave he was. Only he and Bishop Castro Meyer, among so 200 something. 3,000 and 200 bishops
were together.
And he was an outstanding confessor. I wanted to follow him. I want to be his daughter. So I made up my mind to be a third order member.
Finally, Rose, do you see a similarity between the resistance to communism in China and resistance to modernism in the church? Are there any points in common?
I think there are many in common. Why? When the devil tempts you, they use the tactic step by step. They won't tempt you like we ordinary people. You to kill a person, or you do this very evil. They only, in the very beginning, oh, it's nothing. You only signed to register. It's not a sin. Yes. Maybe it's not a sin. Maybe. But it's the very beginning. Then you follow them. One step and one step. Father Francis too has told us. It's like a slope. Not like a staircase, one very clearly. Slope, you
very gentle,
a little bit, and then suddenly when you know, oh, it's very deep now. Maybe you don't have any strength to climb up.
So you saw that in China with the communists. How does that apply with modernism now in the church? How do you see that?
Yeah. It's the same. Some bishop, some priest say, why not to sign an agreement or what with Vatican? Our Pope is our Pope. We say our Pope is our Pope. We are not celibate countries. That's right. But what Pope does right, we follow. He is also, remember, he is also a human being. When he is wrong, how can we follow him? So I often say that sentence. I say, I have been a dumb sheep for many, many years. Dumb sheep. I was cheated.
And now? And now you're resisting.
Sheep is the dumbest animal. Yeah.
But as Catholics, should we not obey?
Obey is obey. Obey God first.
Obey the faith.
Obey the faith first. At that time, when I was at the court, my mother was at the court, and my brother was with him. Yeah. The judge wanted to release me, but asked me to admit that I have sinned. I have committed crimes, but I didn't. So my mother fainted on the court. She at that time was over 60. She fainted at the court.
She was not Catholic then?
And not a Catholic yet. And she said to me, Rose, if they give you sentence, I will commit suicide at home. I said, Mom, you won't do that. You won't do that. God doesn't allow this to happen. Because a good tree can't have bad fruit. It's for sure. I said to Mom, today I have to obey God first, and you second. I love God above all, and I love you in God. This I told my mom. It's very clear. So several years later, my mother, when she was dying, she was baptized by a Hungarian priest named Father Ladani. He's so famous in Hong Kong. He was baptized got his holy she was baptized, holy communion, life, right, and everything perfect
before she died.
What a blessed death she has. So,
to put God first gave plenty of good fruits.
Yes, and God never allows your generosity is over God's generosity. Believe so.
Anybody have questions to ask Rose?
Is there any ideological differences in terms of the hostility to the Catholic Church between the Communist Party of the time when you were first imprisoned and the current communist administration in China?
So, is there any ideological difference between communism when you were there in the 50s, when you were arrested, and today in relation to the church?
I think basically it's the same. They are against Catholic Church all the time. But I have to mention that something happened just because of some betrays among our church. And communists combined with these people.
So the difference is communism is using the Catholics who have betrayed priests and bishops.
Yes.
Which they did not have in the early 50s.
Yes, it's now more and
now
more.
Now they have more who more have more given in out of fear of torture, fear of all kind of things.
Yes.
So in your understanding, why the communists are hostile to the Catholic doctrine?
So why are, according to you, why are the communists opposing so much the Catholic faith?
Actually, they are not so against the patriotic church, even some Novus Ordo church. They are against us very much, because I think devils are against the truth. It's very natural.
I read that at the beginning, when the communists took over China, they didn't really persecute the legionnaire directly. That they make some investigations, and when they found it was something merely spiritual organization, they let the legionnaire continue. But they really attacked it very, very strongly and considered the legionnaire as the number one enemy in China, because when the communist regime set the patriotic church, it is really because of the Legion of Mary that all the Catholics in China were aware of the danger of that church and resisted. And so they really considered it was the fault, the capital sin of the Legion of Mary to have made the plan of the patriotic church fail. Is that, as far as you can recall, is that correct?
Yes. Yes, very correct. Because
so at the beginning in the 50s, the Legion of Mary
was under investigation, sort of.
So after the communists took over in the early 50s, they did not attack directly the Legion of Mary. They were investigating it. It was, correct me if I'm wrong, it was more when the Patriotic Church was established that the Legion of Mary opposing it became enemy number one. Is that correct?
No. They attacked Legion of Mary first.
Before even the Patriotic Church was set up.
Yes.
Why? Did they think it was a secret society? Were they deceived? But were they misunderstanding the words legion, thinking it were a military organization?
Yeah, I don't think so. Actually, they thought most Legion of Mary members were young people. And as in all school, most of us were from pagan families. So young people and from pagan families, it's easy for them to handle. That's what they're thinking. And just as the opposite, most of us stood firmly. And so many people, they knew such young girl, such young boy, they could stand firmly in this battle. So, one by one, so many faithful became brave and brave. That's what the history told us.
So I would like to thank you, Rose, very much for this testimony. It is always, well, it is very encouraging for us, and I think for the people here in Tokyo who do have Mass once a month, to think that there are people who have Mass every 20-some years. You know, I hope it makes people appreciate even more what they have. Thank you for the testimony.
May I ask Rose a special message for our Japanese people? Maybe we do not have physical persecution like you heard, but I think psychologically, we are somehow rejected, and if you can tell us some encouraging words, some message to our faithful who are keeping the same faith.
Thank you, Father. That's what I think. You have also much burden. Why? To be a SSPS faithful is not easy. Everybody has burden. Many will laugh at us. The Mass is so long. You know, the journey is very far, and you have to do this, to do that. It's also to you. So I think you have also much burden. And as far as I know, Japanese people are very hard working. Not like easy life so much. Not like American, like Western style. So, I think Archbishop Lefebvre liked him so much. That's why I suppose. Why? You don't like to live an easy life. That's the basic point to follow SSPX, to follow Archbishop Lefebvre. What I would like to know, if next time I will be here, there will be more faithful and more third order members. I'm sure you are qualified to be third order members. You like to be a member of SSPX family. Why? You like this holy priest so much. You like your good shepherd, Father Onoda. You want to be with him in the same family. So I will invite you to be third order members. That's why I expect. Thank you for occupying you so much time.